presence here today. I thank you for every life that's represented here today. And that, Father, Lord, as I minister your word here this morning, that it would not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of your spirit and power. That, Father, it would be a word unto the weary. That, Father, it's not by my ability, but by the ability that you placed in me. And so, Father, I count this a great honor. And so, Father, I thank you for utterance, for boldness, that your word has free course and is glorified in this place today. That, Father, we would leave different, we'd leave changed. That, Father, we have an opportunity to position ourselves to examine and to judge ourselves. That, Father, as we take communion today, that this would be a holy thing. And that, Father, we would be strengthened, corrected, and grow, that, Father, we could be effective here on this earth to represent you as your body, Jesus being the head. And, Father, we give you the praise and the glory for everything said and done in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen and amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Hey, you guys just sit right here on the top step. Hey, you just take a seat. Daddy's going to be up here talking for a second. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to introduce myself because I know we do have some visiting guests this morning. I'm Pastor Brad. I'm the associate pastor here. And Pastor actually texted me first thing this morning, and he was in need of some extra rest. So he said, hey, he says, is there any way you can take service? I said, yes, absolutely. I look forward to the opportunity to minister the word. So I just invite you, if you haven't had a chance to meet Pastor Tim, he's the man appointed and anointed for this work. So I just encourage you, come on back. You'll definitely want to meet him. He is an anointed man of God as pastor and teacher of this church. And so I just encourage you to make sure to come back. But praise the Lord. When I was texting back and forth with him this morning, he says, well, it is communion and we're going to get to there. But he says, just minister whatever's on your heart. So I said, okay, well, that's, you know, the Lord's put some things on my heart, and so I trust it'll be a blessing to you. The Word of God is good, amen, as long as we stick with the Word of God. But if it's okay, I just want to preach to myself here this morning, and I believe we'll leave blessed. I got a couple props here with me this morning, if you can see them. This is my son Aaron and my daughter Amelia. They just had birthdays. Aaron just turned 6 and Amelia turned 4. And I want to... I'll get there. Thank you, Aaron. He helps me, this boy. But praise the Lord. If anyone knows me, but this is the way it's been all morning, so praise the Lord. But I want to read a few verses to you. Matthew 24:35. Says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I send it to. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them. They are health to all their flesh. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as only one begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There comes a time in every Christian's life that the Word of God has to be enough. There comes a time in every Christian's life where the Word of God has to be enough. Amen. These two here are the best that represents Stephanie and myself. And they are sitting here right now for one reason and one reason alone, because I said so. They don't know why they're here. I never got the questions as to, Daddy, why are you bringing us up on stage? Why are we not in class? Why are we not doing everything that everyone else did? Everyone else ran out and went to their classrooms. Why are we not doing that? They are sitting here right now because I said so. My word has become good to them. There's a trust that's developed between me and my children, and an intimacy there that is not with many of you. So there's no reason that for them to question my word. You may look funny doing what you're doing. You may be questioning serving God to the best of your ability and wondering why you're going through the things that you're going through. And it comes down to the integrity of the one that said it. I may look like a goofball doing what I'm doing. Sometimes I'm putting one foot in front of another. Sometimes I don't know where my tomorrow holds. I don't know the direction, the leading, the guidance, but I'm doing what I do know to do because the word of God has told me to do that. And if I don't apologize if I may look foolish in a corporate setting, in the social etiquettes of this world, don't try to understand me. My position is to understand my Heavenly Father and press into the point of Him to hear to do what He wants me to do. And that has to be good enough for me. Pride aside, position aside, the company that I travel with aside, I have one choice, and that's to obey the Heavenly Father. These children, why is everyone else leaving? Why is everyone else going to their classes? Never did I once get that. They could have asked, they could have questioned. I said, I need your help this morning, and you two sit there. And the reason why they're sitting there right now today is because they're obeying their father. That's the only reason. And it comes through the intimacy and the trust that I've had with my children. And I say that to say all this because one of the greatest things that is under attack in the body of Christ right now is the fellowship with their Heavenly Father. There's been a cheap, and hey, I'm first to stand up. I'm the first to make the adjustments. I'm the first to let you know what my heart is and what the Lord's been sharing to me because I need to step it up in areas. The intimacy is attacked with our Heavenly Father, and so the church is lacking and the church is going without. It comes through the trust and the integrity of the one that says it, but it comes through the closeness of it too, so that you position yourself to hear the voice of the Heavenly Father. And when you have built that relationship and that trust, that's when you get your instruction. That's when you get the direction. That's when you get the breakthrough that you've been believing God for. And it comes down to that intimacy through the Heavenly Father. And because all of society is like this all the time, even in conversation, hold on a second. Send, yes? There's been a breach in our relationship with the Heavenly Father because of the distraction that has been on this earth now for the longest of time. But it comes down to the intimacy and the relationship with the Heavenly Father. I want to take the little one here for a second. Come here, girl. Come here, Daddy. Let's see. I'll come back here. The reason why I pick you, well, it's a good-looking guy for one here, but I know that my daughter doesn't know you. Do you want to go with these guys or do you want to stay with Mommy and Daddy?
I want to stay with Mommy and Daddy.
Okay. Okay. Do you want to go with these guys or do you want to stay with Mommy and Daddy?
I want to stay with Mommy and Daddy.
Some of these people she knows, so you got to be careful with this. She'd be like, Gibby, do you want to go with him or do you want to stay with mommy and daddy?
I want to stay with you.
Girl. Wow. Yeah. That's right, girl. No other word is good to her that's greater than the voice of her father. I know a lot of people do have kids in here. And this isn't scripted. She could have said, yeah, I do want to go with them. Get me off the stage and stuff. She might have. But my word and my trust in her, even though my hand is of discipline sometimes, she's trusted in her father that through anything in the mix, I'm going with you. Because she's understood and there's an intimate connection between my kids and my wife and myself. That's right, daddy's got something for you guys. Here's the other side of it. It's just things I'm just, God put on my heart. Because you guys did this, I got money for you. That's a big smile. That's a big tooth smile right there, toothless smile. Hey boy, you can buy some Legos with this. Girl, you can buy one of those LOL dolls with this. So this money is from your mother and I. This money's for you. You can have it. Come and get it. There you go. Your mom, good job. Let's give him a... He wasn't going to drop his money. Say, well, let mommy hold on to that. No, I put it in my pocket. He'll have it spent by the time he leaves. But I position myself because in him and in the word, all the promises are in him, yes and amen. I had money for them. Not because they earned it, because they sat on stage, because I wanted to bless them and I had that for them. But I stood over there and I said, if you want this, I've got this for you, but you've got to come get it. You got to know that my word is good when I say this money is yours, that it's yours. They had to come and get it. I wasn't going to be like, let me stick this in your pocket. Let me, you know, put this in, you know. No, if you want it, you seek the Father. You come to where the Father's at. God is good. He's faithful to meet us, whatever circumstance we're going through, whatever trial, whatever condition. But there's got to be the adjustment within ourselves that all of a sudden we have to put the things down and start pressing into our Heavenly Father. We got to go into that place of fellowship, that one-on-one relationship. Because the word of God has to become enough. We need not only the logos, the written word of God, but we need the rhema, the spoken word of God. There's things that you will go without just that are not line upon line, precept upon precept. What house to buy, what person or spouse to marry, what job you should take. There's certain things that it's going to come through that intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father. The word is the first and foremost way that we hear the voice of the Lord. But then there comes a one-on-one communion and fellowship with our Heavenly Father. If you will, and you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me over there to Malachi chapter 3, I want to share a couple verses and express a few things. And we are going to get into communion here this morning. But I want to share Malachi 3, starting with verse 13. You know, we just did Malachi 3:10. Malachi is the last book right before the New Testament, which is Matthew. So if you find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the book right before Matthew. If not, just go ahead and look in your concordance, and it'll give you a page number to find Malachi. Amen. Some of these, hey, I'm just telling myself, it's like, yeah, we're going to like Nehemiah or something like that. And it's like, oh, dear Lord, okay, I'll find it. But hey, you know, it doesn't matter, minister or not. Some of these books are like, where are they in chronological order? So Malachi 3:10, we did for tithes and offerings. But look what it goes on to say in Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. And it says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God and are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him and for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son and serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serveth not God. Go back up there to verse 13. He says, your words, just like in Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. How have we robbed you? Tithes and offerings. Verse 13, the Lord says, your words have been stout against me. How have they been stout against me? And then in verse 14, it says, you have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? This is a fallen, backslidden Israel at this time that are trying to get back to that place of fellowship with the Lord. And the Lord, out of the goodness and the mercy, says, I want you to get back right with me. The reason why he sent Jesus Christ was to rip the veil in two, that we could enter back into the Holy of Holies to have fellowship and communion that man through the Garden of Eden once lost. And so he's trying to position the church or God's people at this point to get back into fellowship with him. And the attack that they were dealing with is, he said, you've said it's vain to serve God, and what profit is it? In other words, they're saying, this to me is thankless. This to me, I don't know why, but I go to church week in, week out. I give my tithes. I give my offerings. I've served. I give my time in special events. I go to special meetings. What profit is there? I'd be better off doing this myself. I could be farther ahead. If I could take off church and work, at least I got something to show for when all is said and done. This is Israel's heart. Now, mind you, in the beginning of this chapter, he was talking about finances and bringing the tithe into the place of provision. And so now he's addressing the people saying, hey, I've served, I've given, I've tried church, and it's done nothing for me. My life hasn't changed. My surroundings haven't changed. I'm still in the same rut that I've always been. In fact, it would be better for me to do something more productive with my time. I was just talking actually to Reverend Justin about this yesterday. There's people that, you know, we come in contact with that had gone to this church, have left this church. Now, all of a sudden, they're like, prospering business after business. They own their own business, having another one. And, you know, they're just like, life is good, life is fine, kind of a deal. And it's like, well, man, if I were to go to church, man, that would be a 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 day. Like, why would I miss that? Lord says, your words have been stout against me. Because you said that this has been thankless. Because you said that there's been no profit. Because you thought, because things didn't change overnight. Because you thought someone else got something that you should have got. Because so-and-so, it looks like they're, you know, taking mountain and hill and skipping through valleys, and you're going through a hard time. All of a sudden, the word of God is of none effect to you. So in other words, I'll just rely on my own education. I'll rely on my own resources to further myself, because apparently the Heavenly Father has neglected me. He's, you know, tucked me under a rock someplace and left me, forgotten about me, whatever the case may be. And the Lord says, your words have been stout against me. Your attitude and your demeanor have been stout against me. Why? Because you haven't brought yourself into a place of intimacy where you could truly see and understand my heart. That's why he goes on to say in verse 17, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son and serves him. See, there's all the difference in the world right there. is because when you become born again, you are a child of God, and you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, in Romans chapter 8, the spirit of adoption, where God himself took upon the responsibilities of caring for you. And you're no longer just a person. You're not just longer a Joe Schmo. You've been engrafted into the family of the Heavenly Father through the New Testament, through Jesus Christ. You're born again in a new creation in him. And now he says, because of that, you are now my jewels. And on that day, and then in verse 18, then shall you return and discern between the righteous, the wicked, between him that serves God and then him that serveth not God. Why is Hollywood always blessed? Why is Sin City always blessed? Why is it that all that the, you know, big tech companies, why are they the multi-gazillionaires? Why are those that were basically worshiping Satan, killing babies, why are they the ones running the country? Why are, you know, people with, you know, with the fat pockets, they don't love the Lord, they don't do anything to the Lord. Where's the church, God? Where's those things? Your words have been stout against me. You may not have spoken. Get your mind straightened around that you are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Don't let those things, don't let the delay, don't let the season, don't let this shift in time coming into these end days deter you, that you begin to be stout. Find your place as the son, because he says, in that day, my jewels as my sons and my daughters will be recognized. The same God that says that my word doesn't return unto me void. If I spoke it, I will make it good. The same God that says my word is forever settled in heaven. The Lord that says, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will last forever. That same God has spoken the word saying that in that day you'll stand before him. And he says, there will be a day. Well, I will recognize my sons and my daughters, and I will look to them and not recognize them. Because they chose that. The mentality of thanklessness that's trying to come on the body of Christ. The distractions that will make you self-willed. My kids, I don't care. So let me preface this a minute. So Aaron's getting more self-sufficient, and for a parent, that's a blessing. Me, on the other hand, she just turned 4, and she could do stuff, but she wants you to do everything, everything. But I know that there's coming a day that as they develop, as they grow older, as they gain more independence, where I'll be longing for the opportunity to help. They'll be like, I got it. Would you just let me help? You know, and it was so funny because last night we went outside and they got Velcro shoes. Okay, we haven't crossed the, you know, the tying of the shoes yet. Amen. So they're slip-on with Velcro. So Aaron, as soon as he comes off, whoosh, you know, kicks the shoes off. Me, it's like, I want you to pull my shoes off. Well, I get to pull your shoes off. You pull your shoes off. You can take the one strap of Velcro, unsnap it, pull it off your foot, you know. And so we're trying to teach that independence in them, you know, because otherwise she would have you do everything. And so, but there is coming a time where as they get older, I'll be longing for those things. And it's not wrong for them to take the initiative according to the wisdom they have, as long as our intimacy remains intact. I know you know how to do that, but consult me. I know as you're older, I know you have independence. I know that you can do things on yourself, but come to me. Let me work that with you. I know you can handle this situation. Maybe you have the material means, the financial means. Maybe it's in your ability that you know if there's ailments in your body through, you know, good eating and exercise and diet and different things like that. I know you're well able to do those things. But incorporate me with it, because the intimacy with the Father is far greater than the natural abilities that we have. I know my children are well able to do many things, but being that they are dependent on everything that makes me to them, there's an intimacy there as Father, protector, provider, that makes me flex, if that even makes sense. And you as parents know this, that our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that'll preach a whole nother message. Doesn't mean that he is God, but that he is provider. He is Abba Father. He is sound mind. He is peace. He is love. However you perceive God is who he will become to you. And when my children come to me with a circumstance or a situation and they say, Daddy, I want that. And they're acknowledging me as their provider. Yes. They're building something in me to manifest myself that way. Because yes, I want you to know me like this. I want you to know me as your provider. I want you to know me as your protector. I want you to know me as an embrace and an in peace and a hug. I want you to come into this house and know that what we put our hands to brings a wellness to you. And it not arrogantly, but it makes me, puts a fight in you to do something. Why? Because of love. Because of love. And that's the Father's heart in Malachi, is to bring his people back into closeness and proximity with him. Father, you are my provider. Yeah, I know some of us, you know, everyone's at different places financially. I know I have a good paying job and, you know, we're not in financial lack and we're doing real well. But Father, you're my provider and I need to know you this way. And God wants you to know him this way. He wants you to call him those things. Man, we could get into some scripture. Remember Peter, Jesus was with his disciples. And he said to his disciples, he says, who do you say that I am? And he says, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah or Jeremiah. And then he turns to his disciples and he says, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And he told him, he says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but your heavenly Father, which is in heaven. I know what other people say about God. Jesus, some call me John the Baptist, some, who do you say that I am? And how you respond to who I am is who I become to you. And he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed are you because you got this right, because you see me as the Son of God where they saw me as a prophet. So the benefits that I hold are based on how you perceive me. So when you go before the Heavenly Father, I see you as my healer. I see you as my provider. I see you as my joy, my love, my peace, my sound-mindedness. Pastor went over yesterday, you know, the whole cross, burial, resurrection of our Lord and Savior and the benefits that come with that. Whoever you say that God is who he becomes to you. All through the Bible, even you remember blind Bartimaeus. He was blind, man sitting on the side of the road. Jesus walked by. He heard that Jesus was going by. He said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible gives no indication that Jesus ever stopped. He just kept on walking. So he cried all the louder, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Finally, he cried out, Jesus, thou Son of mercy, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. And everybody was telling blind Bartimaeus when he started opening his mouth, shut up. Don't say anything. Be quiet. And Jesus turned to those same people and said, go get him. The same people that criticized him and told him to shut up. Now Jesus addresses him, says, go get him. So interesting enough, blind Bartimaeus' faith level had risen to the point where he came before the Lord. First thing, Jesus, here's a blind man standing before him. And that day they had special garments so they could beg. He was sitting on the side of the road. The Bible calls him blind Bartimaeus. He comes before the Lord. First thing, Jesus stands before him. What will you have me do? Duh. He's blind. Jesus, he's blind. Jesus stood before blind Bartimaeus. He says, what would you have me to do? Because the next words that come out of your mouth is who I am to you. Jesus, that I would have my sight. He says, your faith has made you whole. If you called me something any different, that's what your faith would have gotten you. But because you perceive me as healer, when I ask you, it's not because I was looking to see if I knew or you knew or you knew that I knew. I knew. I wanted to see who I was recognized in the merit that I have according to your faith, because then that allows me to move on your behalf. Jesus, that I would have my sight. Yes, that you will have your sight. And he was made whole at that hour. Amen. We have to bring ourselves into that position of returning our heart back to the Father. And as we take communion today, we're going to look at this. If you have your Bibles, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's not the ritual of the communion. It's the remembrance, but it's the connection that comes back to your first love. It's the connection that you have with your Heavenly Father as a child going for his father. You know, Aaron and Mia, by far, they don't do everything perfect, as all of us. You know, we all miss it. They do, but I don't ridicule or chastise. I do correct them, yes, if they are in the wrong. But my love has maintained and always will maintain this level. Even if they would reject me, it doesn't affect the love that I have towards my children. I don't have that trial now, but my love and my heart is so connected and knit to them that that will not change whether they made a mistake or not. My love will always remain intact to them. And we have to come before the Heavenly Father. It's not about the merit that you think that you deserve or because you hung, you know, the spiritual moon on everything as of late, you know, because you've read so much, you've prayed so much, you've attended church so much. This comes down to say, hey, I'm your son. And Father, I'm doing the best I can, and my heart is to connect with yours. I realize that I don't measure up at times. I realize that I fall short at times. Apart from me, I look to Jesus and I look to the price that he paid. And because he was perfect, I can stand before you as the righteousness of God and bring myself into fellowship with you. Not based on my life that I've lived the last 5, 10, or 15 years. Based on the life that Jesus, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Healer, my Savior has done. Based on the life that he lived, merits me to connect my heart to yours. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to read a couple verses here because Paul talks about the Lord's table or the communion. And he's addressing some things here because I want to look at a few of these points starting in verse 17. It says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. Well, that's just a fantastic way to start a conversation, Paul. Now, in this I declare unto you that I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Oh, great. Here we go. So he's going to start addressing some things here, and let's take note of what he says. In verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, and they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before the other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. Let's stop right there. He says, you guys are coming together for the wrong reasons. He says, first, there's factions among you. There's divisions. There's strifes. There's classes. There's ethnicities, if you know the word I'm trying to say, ethnic differences amongst you. There's men, there's women, there's children, there's this group, there's that group, there's people that identify as this, people that identify as that. There's a group or a mixing pot that represents you. I wouldn't have known it unless you separated yourselves into these things. And it goes on in verse 19. All right, let's start in verse 18 in the Amplified. It says, "For in the first place, when you assemble as a congregation, I hear that there are cliques, divisions, and factions among you, and I in part believe it. For doubtless, there have to be factions or parties among you in order that they who are genuine and of approved fitness may become evident and plainly recognized among you." So let's just go ahead and stop right there, because it says that there's factions, parties, but it says that those that are genuine and approved fitness. Now, that genuine and approved fitness doesn't mean that they work out, they go to the gym. Praise God for the gym, amen? We got to put our fleshes under. But it's talking about those that fitly or genuinely look the part. Oh, man, well, they're a minister. Oh, man, they're dressed in a nice suit. Man, they look good. They talk the talk. They walk the walk. I see them carrying their Bible. Boy, they sure know how to pray real good. They know how to love on people real good. They are fit people for the church of God. In verse 20 in the Amplified, "So when you gather for your meetings, it is not the supper instituted by the Lord that you eat. For in eating, each one hurries to get his own supper first, not waiting for the poor, and the one goes hungry while the other gets drunk." That word drunk means excess. So these people are getting together. Everyone's running to get their own. I got to get mine. I got to get, you know, be the first in line. Why? Because I'm fit. I deserve this spot. But it goes on when it says there in the Amplified in 20, and it says, "not waiting for the poor." So in other words, people are stepping up to the plate and it says, yes, I'm taking of the Lord's Supper. I'm doing this real good. I'm playing the part. I look good. I'm a minister of the Lord. You know, I've been witnessing to people. I've been praying. I've been reading. But not these guys. Not waiting for the poor. Because, see, there is no division. There is no schism. There is no faction in the family of the Lord. Man institutes those divisions. And I remember when Reverend Greer was here, he said something that stuck to me, is there's been, in this nation, there's been a lot of different races that have been coming up, different ethnic groups that have been coming up. I mean, through the border, Ukrainians even now coming over and stuff. And a lot of what he said was because it can be the tendency of human nature to divide. God loves me in my house. Praise the Lord. I've been going to church for family church for, you know, a number of years since its beginning. I'm doing everything to do, but I don't know about these guys. They're kind of scary. I'm going to get mine. And so they started making a division between them and the poor because why? They weren't of fitness and they weren't genuine. They didn't wear the nice clothes. They had their, ripped out jeans. They weren't maybe the well-groomed or manicured people. Maybe they talk different. Maybe they smell like weed when they come through the doors. Maybe they were drinking the last night and partying. I don't know. But when it comes to the house of the Lord, Paul's addressing these things. There's people that are coming and representing different places. You don't even try to figure out anything other than Jesus, my son, died for them the same as he died for you. And so when they come through these doors, this is my house and my family. So the problems that I do have is with you that have separated yourself to somehow think that these poorer, unfit people are less qualified for my table than you are. What happens when we do outreaches? What happens when these people are not educated, when they're strung out, when they got no hope in life? The Lord's table through Jesus Christ has made them much of a beneficiary and a partaker of his table than us. I don't care if you've been in the church for 50 years. You think you arrived at some merit? The standard and the level of the playing field is through Jesus Christ and him alone. I don't care if you don't speak my language. I'm gonna love you. I don't care if you dress the same as me. I'm gonna love you. I don't care if, you know, if you've come from Timbuktu, wherever, from whatever place, when it comes to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I are in the same boat. I see, you know, I've always kind of, the Lord speaks to me in different ways, but when it comes to like natural disasters, they call it an act of God. It's not an act of God. You know, when Jesus was with the disciples, he rebuked the wind and the rain. He didn't rebuke himself. He didn't rebuke the Father. God's not bringing judgment on people by sending a tsunami and all this other stuff. There's a difference in there. There are some things that are happening in this earth, but we're not getting into that. But when a natural disaster happens, I'll tell you what, tornado comes whipping through, you're there, someone else is there. I don't care if you're rich, poor, black, white, purple, stinking, whatever color you may be, however educated you may be, CEO, you know, the company, just starting in a company, we're all in the same boat. You'll get taken out same as me with a natural disaster. I'm not confessing, I'm just using that as an analogy. Doesn't matter, hey, I don't care if you got $1 million in the bank, we all in the same boat. Same thing through Jesus Christ. It's not about your upbringing. It's not about how church and religious you think you are. It doesn't matter if you're one day in the house of the Lord or 1,000 days in the house of the Lord. It doesn't matter. It comes by one qualification, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we all in the same boat. Your Father is my Father, and I will love you accordingly. You understand? So Paul had to address some things in the church because there were cliques and factions. These people, they don't really fit the mold. So let's gather up ours first in excess, get our bread, get our wine, eat all that and get that up, and whatever might be left over, let the horde fight amongst themselves for it. The undignified folks. Paul's like, that's wrong. Moving right along, glory to God. Verse 22, what, have you not houses to eat? I'm back in the King James. And to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? Why shall I say to you, shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And I love this. In verse 23, he says, for I have received of the Lord that which I deliver unto you. He says, I'm putting myself in the same ball field as you. I've received of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm delivering it unto you. So as much as you've recognized and are dependent on this, so am I. I've received of this, so do you. There's no difference between us here. He's correcting this. And he says in 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Let's stop right there. So he's talking about taking in remembrance of the Lord's body, the bread that was broken as Christ's body being broken for us, the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And he says, if you take this, you take it unworthily, you bring damnation on yourself. And he says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly and die premature, not discerning the Lord's body. Because you had something against somebody else. Because you haven't discerned the Lord's body as a whole, and you started putting factions and divisions amongst the body. Because you didn't realize and brought yourself in connecting your heart to my heart, that as much as you are a son and a daughter that I love, so are they a son and daughter that I love. Because you haven't discerned that, many people are weak, sick, and they die premature. And it goes on to say in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together with unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So he says, when you come, eat, because you're not there to eat and get full and as a meal. He says, you're coming to discern the Lord's body. And he says, tarry and wait till my whole body is represented. Not like, hey, I'm going first before they get in there because, dear Lord, don't touch my food. You see how shallow that is in the Lord's body. He says, tarry, wait. Wait till my whole family is represented, rich, poor, whatever race. Wait till we're all represented there and then judge yourselves. If you have a problem with someone else being there, judge yourself. You got a problem because you're dealing with sin in your life, judge yourself. So you will not be judged. Whatever you're dealing with, it comes down to a family issue now. He says, wait till the whole body is represented, that I can truly see my whole family coming together, that we can be in a position where my children aren't fighting once among themselves, and we can gather together and connect in remembrance of what Jesus, my son, did. That's gotta be first and foremost, before any bill paid, before any debt that you may have, before any sickness and disease, come into communion and fellowship and remember first and foremost one thing, Jesus' body was broken for you and his blood was shed for you. Amen. And we're gonna do that here today. We're gonna get ready to take communion. And I trust you were helped with some of these words. We've all missed it in areas. Other than my wife, I don't know of anyone that's perfect. Oh, Pastor Kate is, because Pastor Tim makes sure that you know, everyone knows that Pastor Kate's perfect too. But for the rest of us, amen, we have an opportunity to judge ourselves. We never want to come to the Lord's table unworthily. That if we have a beef with someone else, that we lay those things aside. That even though we've tried to do things in our own will and can and have succeeded and been successful in some of those things, we're still brought back to that place of fellowship with our Heavenly Father and ourselves. When I grab hold of the revelation that out of everything that could have been given for me, he picked Jesus to give for me. And that he took and paid the price for my sin, my sickness, my poverty, my lack. That I could be the righteousness of God and be brought back in fellowship with him. That is a family issue and something that we all need to be partakers of. Whatever attacks that this world has tried to put on all of us through distraction, complacency, laziness, I have need nothing, I'm good. Our bills are paid. You know, the economic crisis hasn't affected us, we're good. You know, actually we're doing better than we ever have. It comes back to realizing that apart from him, we're nothing and can do nothing. It realizes that you could be the wealthiest person in this world, apart from Jesus, you have nothing. And your eternal destiny would be separated from him. So we're gonna take communion here this morning. And there's just one qualification for receiving communion, the Lord's Supper, and that's being born again. Accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I know there's people here that you've been here maybe just a couple times. I don't know you that well. I know that there's a lot of family that's here. And maybe you've accepted Jesus, maybe you have not, and we're gonna give everyone an opportunity to do that. Ushers, I'll have you come forward at this time if you can go over there and be ready with the elements. We're gonna go ahead and we're gonna pray that if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord, we're gonna give you an opportunity to do that. Let's all go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we give you the praise and the glory for Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we have an opportunity to judge ourselves. That, Father, the distractions of this world has tried to breach the intimacy between us and you. That, Father, maybe we've laid some things down. Maybe we haven't been spending that time with you. Maybe we haven't been in the Word. We haven't been in prayer. And not that those are used as a gauge between your love that you have for us, because, Father, it's not. But, Father, our heart is to seek you and to have more of you and to be intimate, Father, with you and to know you. That, Father, we could have a genuine impact in this world, that we are genuinely sincere, that would pierce dividing walls between races and ethnic differences. That, Father, every faction that this world tries to promote, even through sexuality in this culture, that, Father, your love that you express through Jesus Christ pierces all those dividing walls. And so, Father, we come before you and we prepare ourselves to take communion. That, Father, we adjust our hearts and make those adjustments. And whatever we're dealing with, realizing that first and foremost, we strive for more of you and to be in your presence. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, with no one looking around, maybe you're here today, and maybe you hear a message like this and you're like, "Dear Lord, I've never heard a message like that." But you need to understand what are the first steps with a relationship with the Lord, to actually become part of the family of God. And that's simple. It's by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I never want to minister the Word of God without giving someone an opportunity to ask the Lord into their life. And if you're here today and you've never done that, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's a sincere confession with your mouth that gets you born again. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the word says. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's nothing that you've earned. It's not a merit. It's not any points that you've gathered that gets you saved. It's simply by his grace and his grace alone. So if you're here today and you've never done that, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I promise you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not gonna make you come forward. All I'm gonna ask you to do, and I'm up here on the platform, I can see everybody in this congregation, that if you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just wanna see your hand slipped up. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. Then we will all pray together as a congregation, and you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right there in your seat. Is there anyone here that has never been born again that wants to receive the Lord as their Savior? Can I see your hand here today? I see that hand, you can put it down. Are there any else that say, "I need the Lord, I need to be born again. I wanna become part of the family of the Lord. I've never done that before." Is there anyone else that needs to pray? I see that hand, you can put it down. Thank you, Father. The Lord loves you. He wants to be a father to you. He gave everything that he had, the highest and best, through his son, Jesus Christ, so that you could spend eternity together with him. What we're gonna go ahead and do, I'm gonna give this other invitation too. Maybe you're here and maybe you've walked away from the Lord. Maybe you need to rededicate your life as we're judging ourselves here today through communion. I'm not saying you've messed up a few times and you know, you make mistakes, we all do that. I'm saying that you've walked away from the Lord and you want to come back into fellowship and rededicate your life to him. Is there anyone here that by an uplifted hand, you're saying, I want to rededicate my life here today? I see those hands, you can put them down. Anybody else, you want to rededicate your life here today? We're judging, I see that hand, you can put it down. We're judging ourselves, we're just judging ourselves. Well, what we're gonna do is I'm gonna go ahead and lead us all in a prayer. For those of you that raise your hand to be born again, just repeat these words out of your mouth. I'm gonna say this prayer and everyone's gonna go ahead and repeat after me and you will be born again. All you have to do is be sincere in your heart. Everyone go ahead, repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. I accept you now as my Lord and Savior. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. From this day forth, I will live for you. I will serve you. I will seek you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So that's the qualification as we're taking communion here. For those that gave your life to the Lord, you can now take communion. Amen. You are part of our family as a believer if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So we're going to take a time to distribute the elements. Ushers, if you want to go take your positions, we're going to do this like we had before. We're going to stagger sections. We're going to have a couple ushers on the side. What we'll do is, like we've always done before, Reverend Justin's over here, and I believe Scott Wright is over here. We're gonna take the front sections, or the front parts of the sections. We'll come up front in the back. We'll go to the ushers in the back, and then you can return to your seats. So we're gonna go ahead, and we're gonna start with this section over here, and we're gonna start with this section right here. If you guys want to stand to your feet and go there. And I will make this announcement too. There's no rule, regulation that anybody needs to take communion. That's between you and the Heavenly Father. We're offering communion. If you're born again, we encourage you, take this time of reflection in your heart. If you don't want to take communion, there's no pressure for you to receive of the Lord's table. That's between you and God, but we encourage you to do that here. So we'll have these sections stand for those that want to do the communion, and go ahead. You can go ahead and get started.
This mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. Babe, they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name.
As we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, it says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Let's take and eat. "After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink in remembrance of me." Let's take and drink. Father, we come before you, discerning the Lord's body. That, Father, we discern your body in the price that you paid through Jesus Christ on the cross. But, Father, we also understand and discern your body as the church here on earth, that Jesus, you being the head and us being the body, that how we conduct ourselves will be the reputation in how people can and will perceive you. That, Father, there wouldn't be divisions, factions among even your own people, but Father, how much more those that are lost. So Father, we judge ourselves today to apply the effort and the cost to become closer to you. That Father, those distractions, those things that are in this world that would try to hold us down and keep us down, that Father, we would examine ourselves, realizing that fellowship with you is first and foremost. And Father, we give you the praise, the glory, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Glory to God. Before we dismiss, why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet? Let's just worship the Lord here before we dismiss. Father, we just give you the praise and the glory. We thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you for your word here today. And Father, as we leave changed. We leave edified. We leave corrected. Father, some of us leave born again. Some of us leave rededicated. And Father, we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.